I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
On the last,
I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, ring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Would you like to introduce our guest speaker, their pastor?
I would. But first, you may be seated. Please do that. Okay. My dear wife and I were scheduled for a pastor's prayer retreat here earlier. It was last month in May. But because I was in the hospital, I wasn't able to go. And the people that put on that conference are here today. And I forget your name. Carly. I wanted to say Sally. Your daughter is Story.
Yes.
But anyway, they're from, and Ada. So they're here from Salem.
Yes.
And just wonderful folks from our sister church over there. And they came here and gave me a whole grab bag full of stuff, including Pine Valley Pastors Conference. And I didn't even go. They just came because they're wonderful people, and so it's good to have Carly and Story and Ada with us this morning. Okay, thank you so much. I got to find a picture for a place for this. Oh, it says Russ and Pam. Oh, how about that? Thank you so much. That's really creative. Now, years ago, I had a class with the late Dr. Howard Hendricks. And it was a class on mentoring. Dr. Hendricks says that every man needs three other people in their lives. He says it's important to have someone like a Paul who's building into your life. So along the way, I've tried to stay in touch with a number of my professors and friends and those people who have been mentoring me along the way. He says it's important that you have someone like a Timothy that you yourself are building into, because we don't want to be just a stagnant pond. We want to receive what God has given us, and we want to give it out. And then he says the third man is going to be like a Barnabas, a friend that you journey with along the way, someone who's able to hold you accountable, and as Dr. Hendricks says, call out your BS, quote, and just to be an encouragement. And along the way, those Barnabases, they're hard to find. You can find Paul's and Timothy's, but the Barnabases I've found are the ones that have been more difficult. But my Barnabas is here today, and his name is Herm Bowes. We've known each other about 30 years, and for the last 22 years, we've been meeting Tuesday mornings just for prayer and accountability, and he's had to call out my BS a few times. So I want to welcome Herm. Give him a hand as he comes to the grace place. Well, good morning. It's a beautiful day. And this week we had a family gathering at our house. It was a lot of kids and grandkids and my kids, and we just had a great time. And the kids found a soccer ball at our house, and they said they needed air put in the soccer ball. So my grandson met me out in the garage, and I was looking for the needle, you know, that you put in for getting air in it. And I was looking for the right adapter for the air to go in, air compressor. And unbeknownst to me, I just picked up the device that hooks up with the needle, and I stuck it in there, and nothing happened. And I looked at it, and I looked at my grandson, and he had a grin on his face, and I pushed it in again, and then I looked. I didn't hook it up to the air compressor. I think he got a good kick out of that, too. I thought, I guess I should hook up the air pressure, shouldn't I? of course, none of you have ever done anything like that, right? No, not at all. And then one day I went to visit Russ up in the hospital. I love your hospital here in Dallas, okay? I've been to Salem Hospital a few times, but I had a couple appointments this week in Dallas. Man, you go in, you're the second person in line. You go to Salem, you got 2 hours to wait before they even can say hi to you or anything. It's just, it's amazing. So I have fallen in love with your hospital. It's a wonderful place. And the other thing I don't like about Salem Hospital is the parking garage. Oh, some of you agree with me, okay? So I drove in to go visit Russ, and I parked my car, and I was walking to the stairway to get into the hospital, and I thought, oh, I better check what level I'm on, right? And I looked at the sign, and I said, level 2. So okay, I'm in level 2. So I go visit, and I come back, and I go up 2 levels on the stairs, and I come out, and I go to where my car should be, down the side of where the cars are parked, and my car's not there. And I'm on level 2, and it's not there. I was about 5 cars from the end over here on the east side of the parking area, and it wasn't there. And I thought, oh, what happened to my car? Well, maybe I got the wrong level, so I'll go up to the next level. So I went to the next level. My car wasn't there either. Am I going berserk now? Am I going crazy? Where's my car? Well, maybe I'm on the 3rd level, so I go up to the next level. And eventually I get to the top level, and my car's not there. By now I'm thinking, my wife has a friend whose husband is really struggling with dementia, and I'm thinking, oh no, I have dementia now. And so I go back down, and I go back down to the 2nd level again, and then I thought, well, I'm just going to walk all the 2nd level. So I walk down, and the trick is, for me, I found my car finally on the 1st level, and it's because the levels up here, it's 2nd level. By the time you get down here, it's 1st level. But I want you to know, I found my car. I was so happy, so happy to find my car. And today I want to share and talk about faith. Do you have faith? So we're going to talk about
all kinds of things when it comes to faith. There's two verses that I love that help me grasp a hold of faith in a powerful way. One is 1 Corinthians 13. There it says, and now these three remain. Number one is? Number two is? And number three is? All right, faith, hope, and love. And I find it very interesting that and Paul takes the whole chapter to talk about love, and then he mentions faith and hope. And then he also goes on to say, the greatest is love. So if you you can have lots of faith, but you don't have love, how good's the faith? You can have all kinds of hope, right? And you don't have love, how good's the hope? Well, it's not that they're terrible. It's just that they're more powerful, more impactful when love is what motivates you, what carries you through your faith and through your hope that is there as well. And so we want to talk about living faith today. And so the other one I like is Hebrews 11, 1. And of course, all of Hebrews chapter 11 is about faith. But the first verse simply says, now faith is the confidence of what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And as I was thinking about that today, I thought, you guys do this every year. And even when I came here today, I looked out over the window over here, and I saw your faith at work. Right? Because you go out there and you plant seeds, right? You plant a seed, and you hope that seed is going to produce some fruit by the end of the season, right? The seed is there, and the seed very big? And seed's pretty small, right? Pretty small. So you plant the seed, and that's your faith, okay? You plant your faith, and then you have hope that that seed is going to flourish and produce a crop, right? And then, but what's it take in between? Lots of love, right? I mean, if crops were just about putting in seeds and harvesting, I would do it, okay? But when I was a teenager at home, I had to do all the loving work in between, okay? I had to make sure the garden was watered. I had to make sure the weeds were pulled. I had to make sure everything was clean and the whole thing was taken care of. And I even had to go out and do some of the picking and stuff like that at home. That's why I don't have a garden at my house. I don't think it's because I don't have any faith, but maybe it's because I don't have enough love. So you do it every year. You go out, you plant the seed, and then you go out and lovingly go to work in the garden. And I have the honor every week. I come here on Tuesday, and I have the honor of seeing some of you out there walking through the garden, loving your garden. And eventually, you're going to bring up a wonderful crop. And I remember a few years ago, you had strawberries. I don't think you do them anymore, but you had strawberries. And they were delicious strawberries, okay? Just thank you for letting me come and pick some of those and do that there. So it's really been exciting for me to do that. And even the disciples, Jesus' disciples, struggled with this whole idea of faith, hope, and love. They came to the realization that, and they believed that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was the one who came, that he was the king. They had faith in that, and they had hope that someday he would reign as king, right? And in the process, they were growing in love with him as they walked with him, okay? And but there was a little twist in their hope. And in their hope, okay? They had hope in a kingdom, right? What kingdom did they have hope in? A worldly kingdom. Their hope was based on a worldly kingdom. They kept asking Jesus, and it's really interesting if you go to Book of Acts and chapter 1, when Jesus has already risen from the dead, when he's already been with them for several weeks, they turn to him and say, is now when you're going to establish the kingdom of Israel? They've been walking with him for 3 years. They've seen him raised from the dead. They've seen all this happen. They've listened to him talk about the kingdom of God. It's already here. It's already with you. But they're still holding on to the king in Israel. But Jesus had something so much greater in mind. His hope that he was trying to instill upon them was a hope for a spiritual kingdom that would reach Jews and Gentiles, that would impact the whole world, that would go for generations and decades and centuries. That's his kingdom. And they still had a hard time grasping hold of that in their lives. And I like what Ephesians says when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Ephesians 3, verse 20, it says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and forever. You see, the thing that we wrestle with our hope sometimes is we get so locked into what we want our hope to be that we fail to grasp a hold of what God's hope is. And God's hope, many times, is far greater. He's got something far greater in mind for us than we can even imagine. And does it take a whole bunch of faith to get there? No, faith is there. Faith is the little seed. That's right. Faith is the little seed. It's not how big the faith is, it's how much we practice it and use it. That's the key element to our faith. In John chapter 6, Jesus and his disciples were together, and Jesus was talking about eating his body and drinking his blood. For some reason, some people had a hard time accepting that, and they said, "Man, what are you talking about? Eat your body and drink your blood? That's not something we want to be a part of." And so a lot of the disciples left, and wouldn't have anything to do with them anymore. And Jesus turns to his disciples and he says, do you want to leave too? And then Simon answered, said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We've come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. And so it's a powerful thing. And so one of the things that we need to understand about faith is that faith is really about trust. How much do we trust God? And the basis of our faith is measured in the measure of how much we really trust him. It's easy to trust him in the good times, right? It's a little more stretched to trust him in the bad times. But let me share with you, I have a little book here, Opening to God by David Brenner. And let's just listen to what he has to say. First and foremost, openness to God is living with unqualified trust in God. This is the essence of faith. Faith simply cannot reduce to beliefs. If yours can, your faith is seriously underdeveloped. Did you hear that? Our faith has to go much deeper than just what we believe. Genuine faith is more a posture of the heart than of the mind. Faith in God is leaning with confidence into God. It is living with unqualified trust in the faithfulness of God. The opposite of faith is mistrust, not unbelief. When faith is reduced to beliefs, it is our beliefs that we trust, not God. Trust is the core of faith. It takes great courage to live faith without such openness and trust. Life is a journey that invites us, like Abraham, to leave the familiar places in which we find our comfort and safety without any details about where we are being asked to go or what the journey will involve. It invites us to lift our foot from the familiar and step into the unseen, the unknown. And so faith is much more than just a theology in the mind, a doctrine in the mind, a belief in the mind. Faith is a trust from the heart. And that's the key element for trusting. And I always sometimes like to go back to, for some reason, the Israelites and leaving Egypt is always something that's captured my attention. It just is. And here you have Moses, who is out in the wilderness, talking to a bush that's on fire that not burning. Would you say that's miraculous or weird? Or miraculously weird. Even Moses was kind of taken by, he had to go look at it a little bit more. But there he is, talking to a bush that's on fire that's not burning. And God calls him to go to Egypt and deliver the children of Israel. How would you like his job? He goes to Egypt and tells the leadership there, I'm going to lead you out. God's going to lead you out of here. And what do they say? We don't want to go. And he reminds them, haven't you been praying and asking God to deliver you from the captivity that you're in and that's part of you? Well, yeah, but we're pretty comfortable where we're at. So Moses doesn't hold back at all, does he? He just goes ahead and says to Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, I'm not going to let them go. He goes back to the people. They say, I don't want to go. Boy, Moses had his hands full, didn't he? But by God's grace and God's mercy and God's working, Pharaoh finally said, okay, I'll let them go. That took a few miracles, didn't it? Took a few miracles to shake things up a little bit, to make it where they were able to go, and finally they were able to leave Egypt, and Moses let them out. I just grasp a hold of Moses' trust in God at that time. And where did that trust begin? And an encounter he had with God in the wilderness with a bush that was burning but not on fire. Well, on fire but not burning. Where did your faith begin? Where did it start? Where did it really catch you on fire? To know this is the God I want to follow. I remember as a child asking God to save me over and over and over and over. How many of you asked God to prayed and ask him to save you over and over again? Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just wasn't sure. I just wasn't sure. And one night I just had that awesome sense that I had to believe in God and receive Jesus as my Savior. And I did. And I didn't have to pray that prayer anymore. So if you're wrestling with it in your own heart, in your own life, in your own mind, it's okay. Keep seeking him. God says, if you seek me, you will find me. God's not hiding. He's right here with us. And it doesn't take a huge faith to believe and trust him and follow him. It just takes a little bit of faith, and God will do the rest. It's amazing. It's amazing what God is able to do. And so as the children of Israel left Egypt and they're traveling through the wilderness, God is working to grow their faith. How is he working to grow their faith? Miracles. The first miracle was the Red Sea. There was also the cloud by day and the fire by night. There was manna that fell down every day for them to eat. There was the whole host of quail that came in because they wanted some meat. There was a miracle of water coming out of a rock and flooding the whole area so that 2 million people were able to get a drink. And there was the defeat of the Amalekites that took place. Over and over and over again, God was demonstrating his love, his care, his provision, and everything else for them. So that they would what? So that they would learn to exercise that little bit of faith and trust him. That's all he wanted. Just trust me. And do you remember the paralytic man that Jesus healed? They came to try to get the paralytic over to Jesus so he would heal them. And there was a whole host of people there waiting to get in line, and they couldn't find a way to do it. And they just chopped the hole in the roof, and they let him down. And an interesting thing there. It says, Jesus saw their faith. Their faith. It was not just a person, it was a group of people that had faith. When he saw their faith, he healed the blind, he healed the lame man, the paralytic man. Also demonstrated to the others that were there that he can also forgive sins. That's powerful. And that's another thing we wrestle with sometimes, isn't it? Has God really forgiven me of all my sin? We're going to come to the Lord's table in a little while. Is he really forgiven me of all of them? How much faith does it take to know that all your sins are forgiven? Just a little bit. And trust God. Trust him. God says to you, to me, I got this. You don't have to worry about it. I've taken care of it. Every evil thought that you've had, every wrong thing that you've done, everyone you've hurt, every word that you've used angrily, everything we've ever done, Jesus took care of it. And it's quite simple. All we have to do is say, Lord, thank you. I believe you have forgiven me of all my sin. And if you don't believe it yet, say it again. And if you still don't believe it, say it again. You know why you do that? Because it's the truth. Never be afraid to speak the truth. He's forgiven me of all my sins. Forgiven you of all your sins. We are all righteous before him because of Jesus Christ and what he has done. And that goes along with the whole seed aspect as well. Just a little faith. Just a little faith wipes away all of our sin. And we step into the trusting the Lord along the way as well. Psalm 37 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Trust. Trust goes a long ways. Ephesians 3 goes on to say, "Pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and pray that you, being rooted and established in love, got to turn the page here. Now to him, is, and then it goes on to talk about the immeasurable things that God can do. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just have to ask the Lord to strengthen my faith. How about you? It's there. It's not real big, but it needs to be strong. And so, strengthen my faith. Have you ever wandered off from the Lord? Gone off trail? One time when I was hiking, sometimes you really know when you're off trail, right? Sometimes you just get off trail and you just know something isn't right, but it seems like it's okay. And one time when I was backpacking, I got to a trail, and there was a spot here, and there were sometimes there were some sticks down there with arrow pointing, and there was a trail going that way and a trail going this way, okay? And I thought, well, somebody put the arrow there, it must go that way. And I have an app on my phone that tells me exactly where I am and exactly where the trail is. So I know that if I go off the wrong way, I can open my app and look, and it'll tell me I'm off trail, okay? So I took to the right, and I started walking down the trail, and it just didn't feel right. And so I pulled my phone out, and I looked at it, and says, it's I'm on the right trail, but it just didn't feel right. And so I kept on walking, and finally, when I pulled it out, like the third or fourth time, I pulled my phone out and looked at the thing, I'm a quarter mile off trail. Now, how did that happen? Well, I turned around and I walked back, and as I was walking back, I looked down, and the real trail was below me. This trail was going up. This trail was going down, side by side. Sometimes when we get off trail, we don't even realize it, but we just know this doesn't feel right. But you know what? We have a God of second chances, don't we? We have a God who loves us so much. He knows when we get off trail. He knows when we're struggling. And he'll do any number of things to get us back on the trail, get us back on the right path where we need to be. He doesn't get angry at us. He doesn't get mad at us. He doesn't punish us. He just puts us back on the trail where we need to be. And a couple illustrations of that is, Peter's always a great illustration that way, right? Peter's always saying something or doing something. And I remember just before Jesus was crucified, Peter declared, "Even if all fall away, I will not." Pretty bold statement, right? And of course, Jesus says, "I have something to tell you, Peter. Before the rooster crows twice, you and yourself will disown me three times." No doubt Peter walked away. No way. No way. And so, we know the story, right? It happened. And then he was crushed. And he felt like he had deserted God, he had hurted God, he had walked away from God, and that God would never receive him again. But what did God do? What did Jesus do? He met with him. He said, Peter, I love you. Do you love me? Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. He went back and restored Peter to his relationship with him, to his relationship with the ministry, and helped him carry on. And Peter, not too long after that, preached a very powerful message to the others that were there. It's amazing, amazing what takes place. And so as we got to make sure my notes are in order here. They are, okay. We doing good? So we've done with the seed of, we've done the seed, the believing faith, right? We've done growing in faith, okay? Do you remember that, we remember when the children of Israel were, they'd left Egypt and they get to the Red Sea. And of course the Red Sea's there and the army's behind them. And you wonder sometimes why God leads us to those difficult times in our life. Had God left them? Had he abandoned them? Did they think he did? Would I think he did? Would you think he did? Probably so, right? Probably so. It's really interesting, though, because Moses goes to the people and he says, listen, God is going to deliver us here. So don't worry. God's going to deliver us here. And they look at the water and they look at the Egyptians and they say, sure. And but the next verse says, the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Even Moses struggled with it. He said, just go, step in the water, and walk across. Sometimes when we struggle with what God wants us to do, we just need to step ahead and trust him. Like Abraham, he didn't know where God wanted him to go, didn't know what was going to happen. He just knew God wanted him to go there. And another aspect of Abraham is, God said, I'll make a great nation of you. How many children did he have? He had two, right? That they talk about anyway. And how big of a nation does he have? Pretty big. Pretty big. So believing faith is important. Growing in faith is important. Understanding the seed of faith is vital for us to understand what God is really doing in our lives. And to understand that even when we fail, even when we aren't doing what God wants us to do, he makes a way back. In Haggai, we have the account of the people that returned from captivity in Babylon. And they're supposed to be building the tabernacle. And as they're going about doing things, they finally get kind of busy doing some other things. And they realize, I need to take care of myself, don't I? I need to take care of my house. And so they just start putting a lot of effort into their house, a lot of activities in their house. And it seems that the house of the Lord is just being left. And the Lord says, I notice you're struggling a little bit here. I just want you to know that You said you were going to build my house, but it's just kind of laying there. And he says, but your houses are looking pretty good. Looking pretty good. And so God did a great thing there by motivating the people and getting the people to come up and realize, I need to be about God's work. I need to be doing what he's called me to do. And so they changed their mind, they changed their heart, they went to work, they built the temple in a short period of time, and surprisingly enough, even their houses were okay as they kept going. So God is a God that re-energizes us when we get bogged down as well. So walking by faith is a step-by-step journey for every one of us. It doesn't take a lot of faith. It just takes a little bit of faith. And it takes trust, trusting God, step by step as we move along. And as we walk along and in our path with him, he continues to bless us, take care of us, and minister to us. My wife and I have had some struggles over the last several years in an area that we thought God was leading us. We prayed about it, and it seemed that God was leading us there. We did what we believed God wanted us to do, and we thought this is what God will have us to do. We did it. We did what God wanted us to do. And long story short, it didn't work out the way we thought God wanted it to work out. And so we were just kind of struggling with that whole thing as we went along, saying, Lord, what is going on here? We thought you were leading us here. We thought you wanted us to do this. We thought this is what was going to happen. We put our faith into it. We put our resources into it. So we stepped out to do what we felt God wanted us to do. Because we wanted to develop some sort of a ministry to help other people out in ministry. Well, God did too. But he didn't want us that way. He wanted us to develop a ministry in another area. We didn't know that at the time. But now as we look back and we look at what God has done, we realize that what we thought God wanted us to do there, God wanted us to do something else over here. And he's been developing a lot of things in our lives, in our hearts, to move in a new direction. And it's really kind of exciting to see. And the other is just kind of back there now, and we're letting it go. And God is forming a new path for us to follow. And so I don't know where you are in your journey of faith. But the thing I keep seeing throughout Scripture is, keep walking with the Lord. He is with us every step of the way. He's with us in the hard times. He's with us in the good times. He's with us when we don't think he's with us. He is constantly involved in each one of our lives. And whatever we're facing, he's right there facing it with us. Whatever's happening in our life, many times we would say to each other, well, we didn't see that coming, but it didn't fool God. He knew what was coming all along. So realizing that God is with you every step of the way. And learning to rest in him. Because nothing catches him by surprise. So hold on to your faith. Walk with him. Plant those seeds. Trust in him. And It's a powerful thing. God loves us so much that he gave his one and only son to die on the cross for our sins. God did not send his son to condemn the world, but he gave his son that we might be saved. And like Peter says, where else can we go? Where else can we go? He holds all the hope, all the deliverance, all that we need. He holds it together. And he's doing it all in love. So grow in faith. Lord, say this with me. Lord, help me grow in faith. Say it with me. Lord, help me grow in faith. Say it again. Lord, help me grow in faith. Because really, it's not that faith grows, right? It's that I grow. When we exercise faith, our faith is there, but we are the ones who grow. We are the ones who are impacted by it. Say it with me again. Lord, help me grow in faith. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the discussions, the time we've had this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you have made life the way it is, that nothing catches you by surprise. You know all that's going on in our hearts, our minds, our lives, our families, our churches. And Lord, help us grow in faith. Help us, Lord, to trust you in every circumstance. And help us, Lord, to shine for you wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Herb.
Do you want this thing?
I'd like that headset back. Thank you. Got it? Thank you, Herb. All right, we come to the Lord's table. And it's an invitation for us to remember what Jesus has done for us. It's also a declaration of our faith that we're going to do this in remembrance of him. He told us that we're to continue until he returns to remember him. And so I'm going to invite you to prepare your hearts as we sing this next hymn. And when your hearts are ready, and you want to come to the table, invite you to pick up the elements. There are two. One is the bread and one is the juice. They're joined together. And so you can pick that up and hold it, and then we'll partake together. If you'd like to pick up some elements for a person next to you or like to help someone out, please do that, okay? At this time, we're going to invite the worship team to come on up, and we're going to sing this great hymn of the faith. Think about these words. Jesus, it's like a prayer. Fanny Crosby writes, she says, Jesus, keep me near where?
The cross.
We have a saying here. The ground is level at the cross. Keep us near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all. It doesn't cost us anything. It's free to all. A healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. Would you stand as we sing? And when you're ready, you can come to the table.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a prayer. precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross,
So Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, he says, you know, I received something from the Lord, and I passed it on to you. He says, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. It was a real body that was hung on a tree. Jesus was man of very man. And that body was crushed for our iniquities. We remember his suffering for us now. And by faith, we receive this element, shall we? It requires faith, church, to stay close to the cross, right? We tend to, like sheep, we tend to go astray. But when we exercise our faith, it draws us back to him who is our life. He's our life itself. Paul says, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. In our Sunday school this morning, we talked about covenants And this, he says, this is a new covenant. And how is it ratified? Not in the blood of bulls and goats. It's ratified by his blood. It's an eternal covenant. And it promises, the shorthand there, he says, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. It's the good news that Jesus died for us, for our sins, was buried and was raised again on the third day, that he might redeem us from our sins and grant us eternal life in him. Shall we partake by faith this element? Would you pray with me? Father God, I pray that you help us stay near the cross this week, to hear your still small voice, to walk in your ways, to remember you, to draw close to you, and to grow in our faith, to proclaim our faith, Lord, to live our faith this week before others. In this way, we remember Jesus well. We pray in his eternal name. Amen. Would you join me in God is so good?
God is so good. God is so good. So good to me. He answers prayer.
Yes, he does. He answers prayer.
He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good.
He loves you. He likes you.
He cares for me. He's so good to me.
On the last.
I love him so.
Don't just say it. Declare it, church.
I love him so. I love him so, he's so good to me.
All God's children said, amen. Amen. I have to make a couple more acknowledgments. I want to say thanks to our leadership team who's really gotten our church through this last month. Thank you for all your faithful service. I want to say special thanks to my friend Lance. You've been a good brother and a Barnabas. And I thank you for your preaching and all the extra effort that you put through this last month. I love you, man. And thank you, church, for your prayers. And I'm going to have a message for you next week, so I hope you come back. It's been a whole month or more that I've been able to preach the word, but we're gonna do that next week, all right? Now, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.